I am Alberto, a scientific thinker who finds history most interesting when it behaves like a hidden mechanism waiting to be uncovered.
And I am Lorenzo, a public historian from Florence, who believes every revolution is the latest act in a drama centuries in the making.
Here is a puzzle to start. Imagine a society organized not by territory, but by religion. No borders, only congregations. How do you build a nation-state from that?
That is precisely the Ottoman millet system. The empire governed Greeks, Armenians, Jews, each community by its own religious law, not by a shared territorial citizenship.
So Greek Orthodox identity was an administrative category before it was a national one. The church was the governing institution.
Exactly. And that is why 1821 is not simply a liberation story. It is a systemic rupture, a religious community converting itself into a territorial nation-state.
Which brings me to our museum problem. A new Greek national museum in 1832 must choose one founding exhibit. Option A, Ottoman millet administrative documents. Option B, the Filiki Eteria oath-taking tableau.
I know where you are going, Alberto, and I disagree before you finish.
The millet documents. That is my answer. They show the causal mechanism, the institutional structure that made Greek identity governable, and therefore contestable.
A display of administrative records tells citizens, your freedom emerged from paperwork. That is not a founding story. That is a filing cabinet.
But the Filiki Eteria tableau, founded 1814, oath-taking ceremony, dramatic scene, what causal claim does it make that a secret society's ritual produced an uprising?
It makes a human claim. Men and women chose, at personal risk, to act. The Filiki Eteria coordinated networks across the entire Greek diaspora and the Balkans.
Coordinated, yes. But the uprising spread because the millet system had already concentrated Greek Orthodox identity into a single governable community. That is the prior condition.
Prior conditions do not make revolutions. Alexander Ypsilantis crossed into the Danubian principalities in 1821. His campaign failed, and the Peloponnese still rose anyway.
Which is evidence that the structural pressure was already there, independent of any single leader's success or failure.
Or evidence that contingency matters enormously. The revolutionaries were not a unified class. Local notables, merchants, seafarers, peasants, diaspora financiers. No single mechanism explains that coalition.
Fair. The model is incomplete. But the millet documents at least show the shared institutional frame that made those different groups legible to each other as Greeks.
And my exhibit shows the moment they chose to act on that identity, at cost, under uncertainty, with no guaranteed outcome. That is what a founding exhibit must preserve.
But the tableau risks something serious. It anchors the museum in a heroic narrative. It makes the revolution look inevitable. A natural culmination of Greek spirit.
Only if the label is badly written. A museum label should name the dispute around an object, not pretend neutrality. Show the oath, and show what it cost.
The war involved massacres of Muslim and Jewish civilians at Tripolitsa in 1821. Civil conflicts broke out among Greek factions in 1823 and 1824. Does your tableau include that?
It must. That is precisely my point. The Filiki Eteria scene, properly labeled, holds the contingency, the violence, the internal fractures, none of which appear in an administrative diagram.
And my millet documents, properly contextualized, show why Enlightenment intellectuals like Adamantios Korais, working from Paris, could redefine Greek identity at all. The institutional category was already there to redefine.
Chorus is fascinating, diaspora Greek, Paris-based, circulating Enlightenment texts. But he is evidence for my exhibit too. Ideas need carriers. The Filiki Eteria was the carrier.
The Filiki Eteria was founded in 1814. The Enlightenment texts were circulating for decades before that. The intellectual infrastructure preceded the organizational one.
Infrastructure does not bleed. The men who took that oath in 1814 did not know they would succeed. That uncertainty is the historical truth your documents cannot hold.
The tableau captures human agency. What it cannot do is explain why the Battle of Navarino in 1827 was the decisive stabilizer, not Greek heroism, but British, French, and Russian fleets.
The London Protocol of 1830, the Treaty of Constantinople in 1832. Yes, great powers locked Greece into the European order, but citizens need to understand what they were fighting for before they learn who rescued them.
My position holds. The Millet documents are the causal anchor. They survive Lorenzo's best objection, that they erase agency, because agency without institutional context is just mythology.
And the Filiki-Eteria tableau survives Alberto's objection, that it implies inevitability, because a well-labeled scene of risk and choice is the only exhibit that makes citizens feel the weight of what was not yet decided. That is the founding story Greece needed in 1832.